Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, I speak. Thank God we are approaching the end now. The last section of the book of Genesis, again, the main focus is on Joseph and Jacob. Now, I'd like to turn to chapter... To recap what we did yesterday, right? Now, Joseph was a beloved son in the family, and he was well loved by the father, and obviously being one of the youngest in the family, the father, made him a garment of tunic. Actually caused a much division in the family as well, because the brothers were not very pleased with Joseph. Now you can see a change of event first, right? Because he reported to the father concerning the bad behavior of four of his brothers, right? And the father made him a multicolored tunic. If you look at chapter 37, right? Now, and I think the problem was further compounded by the fact that he had a dream, and he told the family about what he dreamt, and that further exacerbate the problems in the family. Okay, now so it's like a change reactions, and we can say that the behavior of Joseph at that point in time was a bit naive, because he was young and he didn't know how to respond to the reactions of his brothers. Okay, he was a very straightforward person. Now, so as a result, he angered his brothers, and they became jealous, and they even hated him. And eventually, he was sold to Egypt, just for how much? 117 pounds. Remember? Yeah, 20 shekels of silver. So 117 pounds. So that is equivalent to what? 100 shares of Cao Dao Fu. Yeah. Okay, right. That's the amount that Joseph worth at that time. Okay, now we come back. So when he was sold as a slave, he again distinguished himself. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. Okay, and he became very successful. In the house of Potiphar. And because of that, obviously, he faced with a very a challenging temptation that could have, crumbled his faith altogether, because the master's wife was trying to seduce him to sin with her. Okay, and here we can see that Joseph was a man of great principle. He did not succumb to temptation simply because he feared God. Right? Now, so you find that if a person does not have this fear for God, or reverence, or we say venerations towards God, chances are that he would sin. Yeah. Especially when members of the church of believers are no longer around him or her. Okay. Now, so to resist temptation, to prevent oneself from sinning against God, require us to build up this fear of God within our hearts. Yeah. So if we are strong inside, then nothing can crumble us, nothing can penetrate into our hearts, because we know that God is by our side. Okay, very important. I've been saying this so many times already, Because many of you will be going to university, you will live by yourself, away from home, away from your parents, and I guess you are so happy because you don't like to see your parents. Some of you, right? I know that. It's like a kind of break free from the bondage of your family or whatever you call it. Okay? Now, to me, you actually is quite risky if you don't have this fear for God. Yeah. So I think Joseph has given us a very, very precious example. He was just like you. At that time, he was just like you. Almost the same age, 17 or 18 years old. Yeah, 17 or 18 as well. Or 18 or 19. So you're about to go to uni to start a new phase of your life, a new chapter in your life. Okay? Now, so remember this. For you to live away from home, yeah, I guess no one will object to that. But the important thing is you have to make sure that, right, you have to make sure God is in you. God is in you. Right? Now, If you know that you can easily fall into temptation, then my advice to you better stay at home. Right? Forget about staying out. Which one is more important? A spiritual life or staying out? Right? If you know that you cannot resist temptation, you have the inclination of hanging out with your friends or whatever at night, you know, and then it's better for you to stay at home. Okay, otherwise, I think you will sin against God. Because this world is no longer, you know, simple. The corruption in the world is beyond imagination. So. Okay, so, again, we pray and we hope that you bear this in mind. And, you know, always take this to your heart. God and His words are the most important things that you need to treasure. Okay? Now, we come back. So, Joseph overcame temptation in the most difficult of circumstances because obviously at that point in time, you know, he was still very sorrowful. In fact, you know, the pain of being sold lasted throughout his life. Not until, you know, he reconciled or patched up with his brothers. You find that it's there, you know? As we go on, we'll illustrate a bit more. Right? Now, and when he was falsely accused, and you find that he was in prison, and not just a normal prison, and he was put into a dungeon. Right? Now, I want you to read the verse, yeah? Because I think the psalmist described this as well. Okay, Psalms 105, yeah? I think this is an apt summary of the life of Joseph, but I just want you to look at the section that he was sold, okay? Now, I want you to read verse 17 and 18, yeah? 105, now here the psalmist recapitulated what happened to Joseph, okay? Now, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. Now, I want you to look at verse 18 here. They hurt his feet with fetters, and he was laid in irons. Right? Now, that's why we see that here. It's not like he was given free movement within the prison. Okay? Now, you know, I think if you are in a prison cell, you find that you still have certain limited movement, yeah, moved about. But as for the case of Joseph, it's quite different. He was, he was chained up, and actually, his feet and like were chained up as well. Right? That's why the Bible say what? They hurt his feet with fetters. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So you can imagine, you know, right? It's like, to him, it's like, you know, pain, not only pain after pain, you find that his pain is increased in intensity. It's getting worse. It's quite hard to imagine if you were Joseph at age 17 or 18. He rose to power at the age of 18. So my rough guess, okay? So because there is a gap of 13 years, let's assume that he was in the house of Potiphar for 6 years and he was in prison for at least more than 2 years. At least more than 2 years, because you remember when he spoke to the baker and the butler, yeah, and only after 2 years, then what? This Pharaoh had a dream. The Bible said 2 full years, so he could have been in the dungeon for more than 2 years. He guessed it's half, okay? Just half 7 minutes. So you can imagine. Walk like this. That's why I think the pain is unbearable, because why? When you see the the children were born, right? If you look at the name that he given to the children, actually the name of the children reflect what was in the heart. Okay, he was very grieved, very very grieved. But again, the lesson is what? He held on to God. Okay, class, remember this. We have already said it many times. Life is never easy. And life is full of unpleasant surprises. You know, sometimes you find that life is practically unbearable. So what should you do then? You hold on to God. There's the way forward and there's the way out. But there's no other way. Just like Joseph, he was by himself. Right? Sometimes I cannot stop myself to think that, you know, every night when he went to bed, I look at his hand. You find that when before he went to see Pharaoh, and then he quickly shaved himself, you know. Maybe he has not been shaving for what? For years. He's a mustachi man. Right? And then the Bible said he quickly changed his garment. You know? So he no time to shower. Oh, he was not allowed to shower, to clean himself. Or maybe maybe once a week. Yeah? You can imagine that kind of environment. I think to many people, yeah, many people would have crumbled mentally. It's unbearable. But why is it that he was able to survive? Because God is with him. That's the difference. Right? Now, so today, if we have God in our life, no matter what we encounter or is encountering right now, you find that we can survive because the strength from within is stronger. Okay, now if God is going to use you in the future, then he will test you to the extreme. Otherwise you find that, you know, there's too much what we call dross and filthiness within us. So without this, the cleansing of fire, we said the baptism of fire, we can never be suitable for the use of God's work. Right? It's very important. You get what I'm saying? Yeah? Now we read on. Turn back. Don't think that he was enjoying life in the prison and, oh, it's so good, you see, everyone listen to me, so let me stay there for a bit longer. No, I don't think so. Okay, look at what he said to the butler. Right? We turn back to chapter. What is that? Chapter 40. Okay, verse 14. Now remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. Right? In the dungeon. So, you know, sometimes you can imagine, okay? I always think about this. It's like Joseph has experienced a descending order in terms of treatment, okay, from being well loved to being a slave and being a criminal.
Criminal.
Sometimes you slip of tongue, you slur, or like, speak too quick, or not. Criminal. Don't laugh at me. Everyone has this experience. It's never true. You never slur your tongue before. This is the only time I slur. After having spoken how many hours? Okay. Right. Okay, slave, okay? So you find that there is a descending in order in terms of treatment. Yeah? Now, okay, he became a criminal. Sometimes it's hard to imagine. Criminal, you know, suffer so much. Always wanted to get out from there. Now, you can imagine if a person is without God, you know, in this kind of circumstance, he would suffer depression. He would suffer depression. Now, he was able to emerge victorious, again we said, because of God. Now, why was God with him? Because he feared God. That's the difference. That's the difference. Sometimes, you know, you find that we crumble mentally and emotionally. You know, especially in under intense pressure. If God is not with us, we finish. I'm telling you, the world today is getting harder and harder. Right? This is where we should all the more rely on God, yet draw close to God. Okay, now we come back. Now, very unfortunately, this chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, so if you look at chapter 41, verse 1, yeah. Then it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So he must have stayed in the dungeon at least for more than 2 years. But it could be longer anyway. It could be longer. So I guess it's about half. Yeah? 13 years, about 6-7 years. So 6-7 years. But now we look at chapter 41. Now here we find that Pharaoh's had that two identical dreams. Yeah. Now the first one is what? Seven cows, a good one, fat and chubby, and not chubby, fat and plump. Okay, so you know, came up from the river and. Another seven, yeah, ugly and gaunt, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly one add up the good looking one, the fine looking one. Right? Now, so you find that this Pharaoh was so much troubled by the dream, he woke up at night. And he slept again and dreamt a second time. Yeah? And the Bible says seven heads of grain came up on one stalk, plum and good one, a good one. And then after that, what? Seven thin heads appeared, sprang up, and then devoured the good ones, right? And so again, he was very much troubled. Now I want you to read verse 8. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all his wise men. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Can you see the preparation that God has made there for Joseph? Yeah, basically to what? To usher him into that position, right? To give him a chance to interpret the dreams, right? And that is the plan of God. You know, you can imagine if this butler remembered the request of Joseph and went straight to King the Pharaoh and requested him to release the Joseph. I don't think Pharaoh would listen to him. No, right? So again, you find that the plan of God is always better. So the purpose of God is always higher than that of man. Okay. Now, so when we cannot understand why things happen the way they do, the important thing is that we need to keep faith in God. Right? So, obviously, in this 2 years, he must have, suffered a lot. And the important thing is he continued to hold on to the Lord. Okay. Now, so this butler mentioned to Pharaoh about what happened 2 years ago. And I want you to read verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved. Can you see now? Shaved, huh? Changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. I'm not sure how did they shave in those days. How did they shave? Anyone? Have any idea? They used a knife or what? Huh? Like the cowboy knife?
Yeah.
You sure? Kitchen. So, okay, class. Don't stretch your imagination too much. Okay. Okay, class. So, when he met Joseph, then obviously Pharaoh asked him about his skill of interpreting dreams. Now, look at the reply from Joseph. Yeah. Now, Joseph, verse 16. So Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Now, again, you find that he brought God into the equations. The important thing is that, he always recognized God in all the things that he did. It's like saying that it's not him who was able to do it. It is God, who gave interpretation. Now, you remember that there's a I'm going to read chapter 40, yeah? Right? Chapter 40, 2 years ago, remember? 2 years ago when he met this butler and the baker, what did he say? He said the same thing, isn't it? What did he say? Now I'm going to read verse 8, huh? Chapter 40, verse 8. And I said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belongs to God? Tell them to me, please." Right? Now, you find that, whatever he did or whatever he was about to do, you find that he always recognized God as the key player, right? Like in serving others, so in interpreting dreams, so on and so forth. But very important. So I think in the future, even from now on, whatever we do for God, whatever success that God has brought to you, remember that it is by the power of God that we are given success. Yeah, by our own strength and power, we cannot achieve anything for ourselves. That is the recognition that we need to have. And we see that this is very much in the life of Joseph. Yeah? Okay? Right, we move on. Alright, so he started explaining to this Pharaoh, okay? Now, I want you to read again. Verse 25. Now, obviously, Pharaoh first told him about his dream, and then here is the interpretation. Now, verse 25, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Here we can see how humble he was. Yeah, he kept mentioning God. Yeah, it is God who has done this. It is God who has done that. Okay, now what about us today? Even though we have been given great ability or strength or whatever to do the work of God, don't forget that, you know, it is God who has helped us. So, in our hearts, we must recognize that it is by the power of God that we have achieved, you know, a certain task for Him. Okay, now, I want to read verse 28. Again, here it says, this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Again, he kept mentioning God. It is God, it is God, it is God, it is God. Okay, who has done this? And who has done that? Okay. Now, I want to read verse 32. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Okay, it's like preaching the gospel to Pharaoh. In our context, isn't it? He kept introducing, you know, his God to Pharaoh. Ah, it's God, it's God, it's God. Right? Okay? Now, you find that this has become something very crucial later on, yeah? Now, why? Because I want to read verse 38. 38. And Pharaoh said to his servant, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Right, because he kept introducing God to these people. That's why whatever he said, yeah, you know, the listeners began to perceive that it is the Spirit of God who live in him who did the talking. Right? Who gave the wisdom to Joseph. Right? Now, so you find that, you know, like in a way he humbled himself so much, and then eventually God lifted him up. Yeah, by allowing the listeners, the people around him, to see that this has been done by God. You know, whatever Joseph said actually is from what? The Spirit of the Lord. Okay? Now, so you can see, sometime, you know, to humble ourselves, we will not lose out, I'm telling you. If humility truly springs from the bottom of the heart, you will not lose out. You receive blessing from God sooner or later. Right? Now, so the danger is in the church, even amongst full-time workers, if we try to outshine one another, we end up losing what? Losing everything that we have done for God. Right? In the church, we don't believe in rivalry, we don't believe in competition, we don't believe in, you know, bettering ourselves at the expense of others. No. We don't believe in those stuff. Right. So in the Church of God, we believe in working together as a unit, as a family, for the sake of establishing the church. Right? Now, verse 37, we turn to verse 37. Yeah? So the advice was good in the days of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Now, you can imagine, a Hebrew boy, yeah, gave a speech. Yeah, and then what happened? All those who were around, yeah, you know, thought that what he said was good. How can that be? Now, you need to understand, all those who were around, they were not normal people. Yeah, they were what? I want to read, what is it? Chapter 41, yeah? The same chapter. If you read, verse 8, yes. Now it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the magicians of Egypt, and all its wise men, and Pharaoh told them his dream. Okay? He was like talking in front of all these experts. Yeah? Expert in mystery. right? Now they must have been very experienced in giving advice or interpretation to Pharaoh. But you find that when Joseph spoke, everyone listened. Not only they listened, they agreed, and they realized that what Joseph said was correct. How can that be? That has to be the work of God, is that not true? Yeah? Can you see now? Because Joseph was humble, that's why God moved all these people to listen to his word. Right? This is how we gain power. You know, sometimes if you want people to listen to us, especially in preaching, then we need to recognize that God must be in control of our work. If we can show that kind of respect to God, if we give God this due respect, then God will work with you. Miracles, signs, and wonders will happen. Right? Alright, so he rose to power. Okay, now verse 40. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regards to the throne will I be greater than you. Now, how can this be possible? It's like a sudden promotion from the what? From the lowest to the highest. Can you see the jump? Tremendous jump.
Put it in a linear. Where is time? Time is here. Yeah? Right? X and one. Sure. What is the status? Now, here is the beloved son. When he was. No, not correct. That's correct. Here is 17. Here is the beloved son. And drop. Let's say 6 years. That's bigger. Now there's a drop like this. Yes, alright? This one is up. So it's slid. And then drop again. Sorry, I can't drop. This way, drop. Below. The slid, isn't it? So 23 years. Drop again. So how many years? This one is slave. And this one is criminal. Okay. Now, after, let's say here is 30 years. It's not according to scale, okay? Okay, there's a sudden rise to power. Yeah, the covenant. When God is at work, is sometimes it's John. Sometimes it's beyond. Hello. Sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
You know, when God is at work, sometimes you find that his work is beyond understanding. Okay? You find that this is what God has done to Joseph.
What?
And then? Now, throughout his life, he kept his faith in God, yeah? He feared God. That is the most important thing. Okay? Now, even when he rose to power, you find that things had not disappeared from him.
I want to read the verse, yeah?
We'll come to that actually, but I want you to read this. Chapter 42. I will explain that a bit more, but just to illustrate this point first. Now, verse 18, yeah? Chapter 42, verse 18. Then Joseph said to them, the third day, do this and live, for I, dear God, he was struggling at that point in time, how to handle with his brothers. Okay? Now, so you find that his entire life, from here all the way up to the point he was raised to power, is like governed by the fear of God. That is Joseph. Right? Now, in every phase of his life, we find that he was very humble before God. Okay? You know, class, I know that God has given all of you many talents. Some of you are multi-talented. Right? Now, the important thing is this. In the household of God, in the church, humility must prevail. We must allow humility to rule in our life. Yep. That's the most important thing. Then you can be very gifted or whatever, but you find that if you want to show, then God can just take the talents away from you, and God may decide not to use you at all. Okay? That's why in the church, yeah, we want to see even the workers, ordained workers of God, we always remind ourselves, right? Whatever we have received is from God. And this has been something that we always do on a daily basis. We tell ourselves, this is not yours, this is not yours, this is not yours. We always want to distance ourselves from any success that we have achieved from God, for God. Right? And that's Joseph. Okay, we move on. Now we come back to chapter 41. Now you can imagine here, right? You can see here, he was given what? The signet ring of Pharaoh. It's like, you know, this thing belongs specially for to what? To Pharaoh. And that represents what? Power and authority. Now it's given to a Hebrew boy whom he did not even know very well. You understand what I'm saying? This is the work of God. This is the work of God. Yeah? Okay? Now, you find that God has been with him, yeah, ever since he was sold, yeah, as a slave. Now, I want you to read also, what is it? Verse 42, huh? Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a golden chain around his neck. Verse 43, and he had him ride in the second chariot which he had, and they carried out before him, bowed the knee, so he set him over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh also said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without your consent, no man may lift his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Even though he was like the second in command, but authority-wise, it's like he is higher. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? Now, later on, I want you to look at the description given by Joseph, yeah, when he spoke to his family members. Yeah, I want you to read chapter 45. Now, verse 8, okay? Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh. Even though he was the second in command, actually he was the father. Hey, listen to me. Right? So, when he said that, it means what? It means that whatever problem Pharaoh's encountered, he would come to Joseph for advice. How can an old man come to a young man for advice? Can you see that? Right? Now, That's why class.
Forget about where you are. I always say this. Forget about where you are. Forget about what you encounter. Forget about what you have in life. This is the most important thing. The rest is not important. I'm telling you. Serious. Fear God. Then God's power will be given to you. Immense power. If you fear God, remain humble, keep yourself in the Lord, and do not sin against God, then you'll be promoted.
Like Joseph. Again, now, on the contrary, if we continue to sin against God,
then what happened? You fall and fall and fall and fall until condemnation.
There's no return. What? That's the life of Joseph. No, I'm not saying that, you know, everyone will become a governor. Or you become the, what, in our equivalent is like you are the Chancellor of the Exchequer of the UK. No, forget about that. Okay. Now we read on, yeah? Now verse 46, huh? 46. Now Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. Here again, we find that he was a very, very, very faithful person. When he was entrusted with the commission to look after the nation, yeah, the plan for the nation, here, what does the Bible say? He went throughout all the land of Egypt. Okay? It's like he did a survey for himself. Exactly how to what? To go about, you know, planning to you know, to store up, you know, food, you know, for the 7 years famine. Right? The wisdom. Now again, when you look at later on, yeah, that his wisdom. Okay?
Now there are two sources of wisdom that Joseph has received. Yeah? Okay, now it's not just about wisdom concerning God, but wisdom concerning how to manage such a massive nation. But in the year of famine, you find that he actually is a scope of managing the nation went beyond just Egypt itself, actually, because the nation of the world at that time all came to Egypt. There are two sources of wisdom. The first one is fear. If you have this fear of God, you receive wisdom. Okay? And this can be seen in the case of Daniel. You know Daniel? When he chose not to eat of the delicacy of the king, the Bible said God gave him more wisdom. Now the second is through training. Right? Now obviously as for Joseph, he went through what? Difficulties. Like from being a slave to being a dungeon warden, if I can put it that way, or prison warden, right? All this you find that has the purpose of God intact. Yeah, to train up Joseph. Right? Now so you know if you only have this, without this, you'll fail also. But you need both for Christian. Not just this. This one, anyone can do it. As long as you have a brain, you can do it. But this one, more important. What? Is that clear? So don't forget, you know, I think very soon some of you will start working or whatever. But that one must come first, yeah? Fearing God must come first. Fearing God must take priority, take precedence over all things. That's the most important. Okay. If you only have this, without that, you will sin, I tell you, you will fall. Because in your training environment, it can be very dangerous, as illustrated in the account of Joseph.
when he served in his master's house, you know, he was tempted to the full. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Is it clear? Okay, question. Question? No, there's nothing much. I just tell you story. So, if you're happy with my story, then you can sit here and listen. I'm a good storyteller because I tell the same story year after year, same story. You can ask them, I tell the same story. No, it's okay. Okay. Now, class, we come back. I want to read. So here it talks about Joseph. Yeah, got married. Yeah. So he was given a wife. Now I want to read verse 51 and 52. Now Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. What does it mean? For God has made me forget all my toil, and all my father's house. Now verse 52. And the name of the second called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Now the two names of the sons here actually reflect what was in the mind of Joseph. It's what you call a psychological makeup of Joseph at that point in time. Right? So he must have been trying so hard to forget about his household. Because to him, that was what the source of pain. It has caused him so much grief. Right? Something that he wanted to forget about. Now, the second source of pain is what? Is the land of affliction, that is Egypt. So, that's why, before he rose to power, during that 13 years, he has been afflicted. Okay? Both emotionally and what? And physically, according to Psalms, they hurt his feet. You know what I'm saying? You know, because if you don't paint the story of Joseph very clearly, it's just like, you know, a normal story. You just read through it. But actually, there's more than that when you look at it. He suffered. Now again, we said, why is it that he was able to withstand all this pain and suffering? This thing. Fear of God. If you fear God, God will help you to withstand. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Hello, class. I know I repeat the same thing over and over again. You know, year three, I repeat 7 times. But because I taught them one true God, they don't understand. Okay, I repeat one more time. Don't understand one more time. You understand? Don't understand one more time. You understand? Okay, so I don't have to repeat. Thank you. Finally, you have understood. Yeah? All right, let's say a silent prayer. Amen.